This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Double A school.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the Mercer Bears.
They're no great shakes or anything, but they come into Tuscaloosa on Saturday to warm the Crimson Tide up, get the kinks out a little bit, get the blood flowing. You know, it's better than calisthenics, and you can sell tickets.
Yes. Yeah, so 11 o'clock kick. It's an early one, ladies and gentlemen. And our man Travis Ryer of BamOnline.com will be there ready to go when Mercer and Alabama get together. Travis, good morning. How you doing today, my friend?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Of course, you know, as you can imagine, Travis, we're entertaining questions already from the fan base about Alabama's clutch performance late on the road in the Southeastern Conference Western Division in a win against a fired-up Mississippi State team about, you know, the thin defense, things like that. I don't want to talk about issues with the Alabama team. What did you see out of Alabama that you really liked that was the tipping point or the telling point in that game?
Well, I think more so than any other time this season, we found out that Alabama can get a pretty good punch. And not just one, but multiple. And I think they trailed at some point in each of the four quarters in that game. So it was a situation that they're certainly not accustomed to finding themselves in. They had been pushed a little bit by Florida State, Texas A&M, LSU, but not to the extent that they were taxed on Saturday night. And I thought the way they responded to that told you a lot about them, starting with their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, but also a defense that is definitely beat up right now, ravaged by injury at the linebacker positions. But when they needed to get off the field in the fourth quarter, they were able to do it, starting with limiting Mississippi State to a field goal that kept the game to a touchdown lead for the Bulldogs instead of double digits. That was a huge sequence right there. And then a running game for State that had had a pretty good bit of success had just 12 yards in the fourth quarter. So when they needed to be good, they were. And, you know, they definitely had a lot to work on between now and November the 25th. But I think from a confidence standpoint, within that building at least, they're probably feeling really, really good about themselves. The fan base, maybe something different. But as far as, you know, what they could have gained from that win in terms of psyche and belief, I think they had some things reaffirmed for them.
What about this side of it, though? I get the sense that maybe Nick Saban, in some degree, might have liked how that game played out. Maybe how the game played out against LSU, knowing going on the road to a very hostile environment like Jordan-Hare, that this might be in their favor. Hey, man, hey guys, we got to tighten up a little bit. You know, this season, as some people have said, maybe a little boring. You know, we've blown a lot of people out. But, hey, the last 2 weeks we've realized, you know, there's things we got to work on. So I kind of – some type of motivational tool, if you will, that Coach Saban can use to this team that maybe grounds them a little bit and gets them maybe refocused before they make this trip over to Auburn.
Yeah, I don't think getting their attention the next 8 to 10 days should be much of a problem. You know, a lot of times teams have to lose to be able to, you know, reach that point where they have the full attention of the coaching staff, or the coaching staff has the full attention of the players. So, you know, I think both teams going into the game a week from Saturday are really in good places. I think Auburn needed that win over Georgia from a confidence standpoint, and they got it in resounding fashion. You know, and I think it can definitely help Alabama that, you know, it survived in a lot of ways, but also found out that it can win in a tough environment on the road when everything doesn't go perfectly. And, yeah, there's probably going to be more talk about Alabama being vulnerable in the next 7 to 10 days than there is, you know, the Crimson Tide being its usual dominant self. And I don't think Nick Saban has a problem with that at all.
Jennings and Holcomb and Evans were the starters at Jack, Mike, and Will for Alabama. Gage, your thoughts on their performance collectively, not necessarily individually, but collectively in the linebacker unit and the linebackers behind them.
And Jennings, I thought, played pretty well. I mean, he's such an important part of what they do and really doesn't get a lot of credit for what he does as an edge setter there on the perimeter. And Holcomb, it was obviously a tough night. I mean, this is a guy who's predominantly been, if not exclusively been, a dime linebacker. So you get 9-10 games into the season, and I think as much as anything else, you know, you're talking about a guy who hadn't repped in the base or nickel packages really at all at Mike linebacker. I mean, he's more of a weak side linebacker than a Mike linebacker. So it wasn't his best night. I think we all saw that. As far as Rashawn Evans, he continues to be just an incredible playmaker. In his last four games, he's had 9 tackles for loss and 5 sacks. So, you know, he's playing the way they need him to play at the right time of year. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag at linebacker. You know, Jennings was named one of the UA Players of the Week by the coaching staff yesterday. So, they obviously graded him at a pretty good number. But Holcomb needs the reps that he's going to get this week and next week, more so probably even in practice than, you know, in the game Saturday against Mercer. Same for Dylan Moses, the true freshman. So I'm willing to attribute some of Holcomb's struggles against Mississippi State to really just not being, you know, the guy at that spot. And it's tough at that spot because, you know, you're trying to play up to a standard that isn't just Sean Dion Hamilton. I mean, you're talking about Reuben Foster, C.J. Mosley, Rolando McClain. I mean, these are the guys that Alabama has had in that spot during Nick Saban's time in Tuscaloosa. So it tells you the type of player, you know, that you're trying to put to.
Travis, any guess, any idea of what this week is really going to be like practice-wise? I mean, obviously they got Mercer. But these players are smart enough to realize that Mercer's 5-5 and they're at a level below Alabama in terms of depth and strength and athletic ability and things of that nature. How do the coaches juggle trying to maybe put together a Mercer game plan all the while really preparing for Auburn?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I think as much as anything, and watching Mercer a little bit, there is some carryover, I think, between what Mercer does and what Auburn does, probably even more so on offense than defense. But it's probably going to be pretty basic in terms of preparation this week. You know, they didn't practice yesterday, which wasn't a surprise. Typically this time of year when they get to that Southern Conference weekend, that is this week, they do that on Mondays. So as much as it is about on the field preparation, it's also trying to conserve and, you know, get to where they need to be in terms of their legs and their overall health as much as anything else. So, you know, I don't think it'll be a heavy week in terms of probably the physical aspect of what they do on the practice field, but I don't have any question that at least from a fundamental level, some of the concepts that they're going to see that translate between Mercer and Auburn are going to be a part of what they work on.
I remember way back when a year ago, when Barnett and Hurts were battling for that position, little Cooper Bateman, and Hurts came out, got his chance, and people kept saying, you know, what a great athlete he was, how strong he was. But when he really starts figuring out the position, he's going to be something to watch. Well, I think he's figured out the position. I think what we're seeing over the last, gosh, month and a half, 2 months at least, is a guy who has matured already into that quarterback that everybody thought he might be. Can you comment on his, I don't want to say maturation because he always seemed pretty mature, but his growing into that position, Travis?
Yeah, I think it's shown up probably as much in the passing game in the middle of the field. You saw that again Saturday night. That was an area of the passing game at the end of last season that was woefully underserved. And as we've seen, especially here in the last couple of 3 weeks, they've become more and more aggressive in terms of working the middle of the field. It was huge against Mississippi State.
Yes.
The 63-yard reception to Calvin Ridley was basically a crossing route that Calvin turned into a big play. The slants at the end against the blitz. Those are plays that Jalen didn't make a year ago at this time. As much as anything, he looked to beat the blitz with his legs. Well, you're seeing him confidently stand in there now and look to make throws, and he should. I mean, when you've got Calvin Ridley on the outside to go along with all these other weapons that they have, that's what you ideally would like to see happen. And I think that's the biggest progression he's made. He's still not perfect, but I think he's far more confident and capable of making throws in every aspect of the passing game and willing to make throws in every aspect of the passing game than he was a year ago. A year ago at this time, it was still pretty much the perimeter outside the numbers, get him going on the move, on some design rolls and things like that. This year, we're seeing a guy that again, he looks comfortable in that, in his own skin in the pocket. And I think you got to give Brian Daboll a lot of credit for that, too.
Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Travis said there was a series of plays in the fourth quarter, I believe, where Bo Scarborough ran it three straight and then came out of the game, actually motioned to come out of the game. Was he injured?
He didn't look entirely good at that point, and more so because there was a run or two where on the perimeter it looked like there was more to be had on those runs than he was kind of able to produce. So I was wondering that myself. It's that time of year where guys are dealing with so many different things that they don't all show up on the injury report. We hear from Nick Saban yesterday, and really there's only two guys that he talked about. Ross Pierce-Baker, the left guard, being one of them, Minkah Fitzpatrick being the other. But there is a litany of players on every team right now that have different issues. So, we haven't heard for sure anything official from UA in terms of an ailment involving Bo, but I certainly know what you're referring to there. And, it just makes you think that perhaps Josh Jacobs is going to be even more involved going forward than he was there in the second half, especially against State.
What are your thoughts about Alabama's tackling Saturday night?
Well, I thought on some third downs they weren't great. And Holcomb had his issues at times. There's no doubt about that. But I think the one thing they did well was that while State was effective running the ball, Alabama never gave up the explosive run. I think State's longest run in the game was 13 yards. You can live with that. But as a whole, I think more than anything, the red zone, is where they have got to be more stout. It was just far too easy for State on a couple occasions down there inside the 20-yard line. Really not much in the way of resistance. And so, and the defensive line's got to be better too. I didn't think that it was always great in terms of taking care of their individual roles in the way that Alabama likes to play it. There was some instances where maybe there was a little hero ball going on up front, guys trying to make big plays instead of, as we've heard from Nick Saban so many times, just win their box and help the linebackers from that standpoint. So, we're going to talk about Holcomb and that situation, an inside linebacker, and understandably so for the next 10 days or so. But, I think they've got to be better across the board up front, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Deron Payne is a consistent force there, right there in the middle. But those defensive ends, Raekwon Davis, Isaiah Buggs, Deshaun Hannon, I thought they were better in the fourth quarter. But for the first three quarters, they had their problems up front, too. And give credit to Mississippi State. Their offensive line played at a level that we really haven't seen them play at against Alabama in a number of years.
Before we let you go, I wanted to touch a little on basketball. Some news yesterday I got about some future Bama players. And, of course, I guess the big news was that Colin Sexton will be able to play.
Yeah, Colin Sexton makes his debut tonight at Coleman Coliseum as the Crimson Tide welcomes Lipscomb, the Bison from Nashville, Tennessee. They come to Coleman Coliseum this evening, so it should be a lot of excitement. A really impressive performance for Alabama in the season opener against Memphis last Friday up in Annapolis, Maryland, from the standpoint of, you know, being without Sexton, being without Braxton Key, Riley Norris, and still managing to put 82 points up on the scoreboard. So that was encouraging. It wasn't error-free basketball by any means. Massive foul trouble in the first half of that game. So, but getting Sexton tonight should be a big lift and should be a decent crowd for a Tuesday night in November at Coleman tonight, I would think.
Yeah, they deserve it. Should be interesting to watch. Anyway, BamaOnline.com will have coverage of that in the Mercer game. And, of course, recruiting everything before and after. Loads of information. How do people gain access, Travis?
Thanks, Barry. Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way,
fantastic. Travis, much appreciated as always. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Travis Ryer on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline here today, talking some Alabama as they get ready for the Mercer.